Welcome back. We're going to be joined by Luke Jensen in just a minute and Dr. Andrew Jacobs and focus on youth sports and coaching. But before we do, here are a couple highlights from yesterday's interview with Herman Edwards and his perspective having been brought in and brought to the next level as assistant head coach with a guy named Tony Dungy back with Tampa Bay. And here's what he said about Tony's arrival in Indy.
That they were going to get a coach that was very, very consistent. He was, he didn't change. You know, he was going to be this way. He did it his way. Has the same kind of philosophy. My father was in the military, so I understand about teaching, details, being disciplined. And that's what Tony brought to the table, the Indy. And that, along with a track record of going to the playoffs.
That was Herman Edwards. We're joined by Dr. Andrew Jacobs. Andy, I'm sure you watched the game, and you've known a lot about Herman Edwards and Tony Dungy as well. What is it about Tony's leadership that strikes you as the unique thing that, again, gives us a chance to appreciate him just as the coach he is and begin to separate out any of this racial stuff that clouds the issue of how great a coach he is anyway?
Well, the thing that impressed me, Nick, and it's good to be with you as always, about Tony Dungy.
Thanks, buddy.
You're welcome. It's his demeanor. Okay, and I what I liked about Tony Dungy, watching him coach throughout the playoffs, was you saw a man who was together, was focused, he was under control. And in listening to comments made about him by Herman Edwards and many other people, you hear about a man who doesn't lose his cool, who has things under control, and has a way about him that permeates through the coaching staff and the players. It's a man who I heard has only been heard to have cursed once all season, keeps it together, and has a game plan of what he's doing.
He cursed once?
I heard that was one time this season. A profanity came out. That was it.
What word was that? I'm just interested. My mother, by the way, I never heard my mother swear, but her favorite saying when she really had to say something was "God's flaming teeth."
Well, the question
what did Tony
is, when you and your twin sister were born, how was she feeling? But that might be a different situation. But anyway, the fact is this. Mr. Dungy had an aura about him throughout the season that I think went through the coaching staff and the players that showed that when the pressure was on, we can perform and focus on what we had to do. The game against New England, where they were down, was it 21-3 at halftime?
It was 21-6. They came back for that important field goal, which made a big difference, I think, in their confidence at halftime.
But when they came back, and you know, I heard what he talked about in the locker room. He said, "Let's, you know, we get the ball, let's score, let's stop them, let's score, and we'll be right back in the game." And indeed, that's what happened. And I think it was that calm ability, rather than somebody, you know, when we talk about, and one of the things we wanted to talk today about, you know, upsets in sports. Why do they happen? People lose their cool. People take things for granted and they lose their cool. Tony Dungy doesn't lose his cool, and you know, he's coached to the face of adversity, losing his son. And you have to admire a guy like this. And I think what he's done proves that you know, people can perform under pressure at very high levels.
Here's another quote from our good friend Herman Edwards about the challenge that they faced in turning around an organization. And I want to use this as some of the underpinnings of our discussion about setting up young athletes for how they deal with adversity.
Hard it was in the beginning to change people's attitudes, because we all believe the same thing. It's your attitude really kind of dictates where you're going to go in life. And I think if you have a positive attitude and you look at things that way, you can be successful a lot quicker than the other way.
And to me, the bottom line is, look at their reaction. I don't think that reaction would have been the same a year ago. But if you listen to the huddles, if you listen to the players on the sidelines and the closeness and the intensity, the fact that they would say again and again, weather that storm right before the game against Baltimore, in Baltimore, knowing how intense, their achievement of beating Baltimore was not a small feat. And they did it with field goals. They took what they had. It was the leadership of Manning, but it was also the maturity of that team as well. Let's shift, if you will, to the subject of how you prepare young athletes for dealing with upsets, for dealing with adversity, and then we'll be joining our next segment with Fred Eng for the National Alliance for Youth Sports, who has a lot of anecdotes about that.
Well, yesterday I had an athlete, a young athlete in my office who is a golfer, a female golfer, and we talked about this whole issue of what happens when you don't play well. What happens when you start the tournament off and hit your first drive out of bounds. I said, how do you handle that? She goes, well, you know, in the past, it's always been something that has frustrated me, and then it carries over into the next shot, and the next shot, and my game goes to pot. As soon as, if I hit that bad shot on the first hole, my game's over. And I said, well, you know, sports is all about learning how to deal with failure, more so than winning. We all go out and compete. And for young athletes, they want to go out and have fun, but they want to win. And when they lose, I think what happens is that the most important lesson they can learn comes from their parents and the coaches who are working with them. When they lose, about how to deal with it, how to learn from it, and how to grow from it. The athletes who don't get taught that message, Nick, I think have trouble moving on, and the result for them is they never learn how to deal with failure at a high level of performance.
We're talking with Dr. Andrew Jacobs, who's a nationally known, recognized sports psychologist who works with players and athletes from all levels, but in particular, we're interested on Fridays in focusing on how kids learn the right lessons from the beginning. How do you set up, let's start with age groups, with kids that are first coming into sports, let's say they're seven-year-olds and they're just beginning in Little League. What advice would you give the coach in terms of helping set them up so they understand that they need to work hard, which is one thing I don't see. We talk about work ethic all the time with Luke Jensen, for instance, but also that they work through adversity when they're disappointed, when they fail, when there is a public humiliation, which is one of the first lessons you get or experiences you get in sports.
I think one of the things that youth sport coaches need to do, quite frankly, is sit down with parents before they work with the kids and talk about their philosophy about winning and losing, most importantly about having fun. But what are we going to teach these kids? What are we here to do? We're here to teach them how to grow and learn this sport. And part of learning and growing in this sport is what happens when you don't succeed. Yeah, you want to score the goal. Yeah, you want to hit a home run. Yes, you want to score a touchdown. Yes, you want to make a basket. But it doesn't happen all the time. And how you teach them how to handle that situation when it doesn't work is just as important as it is when you pat them on the back when it works for them. Mark Turgeon's the basketball coach at Wichita State University. Last year,
formerly at KU,
player at KU, actually was there when I was the team psychologist. He was a freshman when I was the team psychologist up there, and I could tell right when I met him that you knew he was going to be a coach. You just knew it. It was in his demeanor. It was his attitude. And plus, he was only like 5'9", 5'10", so you knew he probably wasn't going to play that long. But the fact was this: there was an interesting article written about him recently, where it quoted a number of the players on the team saying, one of the things I love about Coach Turgeon is that he doesn't yell and scream. He coaches. When they make a mistake, he pulls them aside and asks them, what did you do wrong? And let's talk about what you have to do to correct it the next time. Instead of criticizing them, he works with them to get better. These players want to win for him. They want to play for him. And to me, that's what coaching young athletes is about. When a youngster makes a mistake, rather than criticizing them, getting mad at them because you're upset, I think your job as a youth sport coach is to coach them on what did you do, ask them what they did wrong if they know it, and a lot of them don't even know, and then try to teach them what to do to make it right. That is the
what about the percentage also of positive versus negative? We're joined by our buddy Luke Jensen, the Ronnie Lott of tennis. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Oh, man, I'm in the 7 feet of snow in Syracuse, baby.
And you got a big match tonight for Syracuse. I thought we'd bring you into the conversation and maybe touch on Davis Cup for the last couple minutes of this segment and then go back to the idea of adversity in general. But Luke, let's talk just for a second, Dr. Jacobs, if you will permit me. The Davis Cup is, of course, one of the ultimate forms of tennis adversity because you're dealing with people in the stands that feel like they have culturally, in the Davis Cup culture, the right to yell and scream and try to interrupt and distract. Tell us about that and how that affects the play, and then a little bit about this matchup that starts actually today.
Yeah, it's really interesting how, you know, just in sports in general, when I was really starting to follow as a kid in the 70s all the way through, it seems when I grew up and we grew up, when you cheered for your team, it was to support your team. And I don't know where along the way it became you were there to distract the opponent. You were there to try to throw them off their game. And, you know,
look at college basketball.
Basketball, you know, and they're waving their hands and things. I don't know if that crosses the line of bad taste and bad sportsmanship. You know, I played in some hostile environments in the game of tennis, and I knew what I was stepping into. And my greatest moment as a tennis player was when I faltered as a USC Trojan. We were undefeated at the time, and it came down to my two matches, and I kind of fell down to the pressure. And after those matches, I got stronger. I worked harder. I became a better competitor because of that. But, you know, there were people throwing beer on me, spitting at me, going nuts, and it was an environment that wasn't very friendly at all.
Oh, gosh, I remember that grandma in the Buffalo parking lot giving me and the whole team bus the finger a few years ago, thinking, gosh, you know, you go to different environments. Buffalo's one of them. Oakland's one of them, where they are going to try to get under your skin. In the last 30 seconds of this segment.
She was really telling you who was number one, Nick.
Yeah, that was it. But Luke, there's something in you that said, what am I going to learn from this? Where did that come from?
Well, I mean, to me, I was very fortunate to have parents, have a support system that kept me focused, that really stressed to me that this is where you want to be. But the only way to shut these people up is by doing your job and getting, you know, getting the best out of your ability. Now, you may not win, but if you let them affect you and let them get to your mind and affect your play, then they have won. And so it was always to sit there and play with class and play with intensity. And then take that loss and use it to become a better player. In this case, I became a much better professional because of that match.
When we come back, Luke Jensen, the Ronnie Lott of tennis, baby, USC Trojans, and more with Fred Ang and Dr. Andrew Jacobs about adversity, how you teach and mold young athletes to look at adversity as the best darn thing that ever happened to them. On Head Games, on Sports Byline, and Sirius Channel 122. It is one of the most important lessons anybody can learn. Stay with us.